Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
What's about? We've been down in sunny Monaco. We've been catching up on our water supplies the last 3 days. Very interesting.
Been a bit wet, has it?
And both Suzanne and I have both got umbrellas, which says it. So Peter wrote, so it never rains in Monte Carlo. I think we bought them from the wrong shop.
let's start. Loads to get through as usual, KB. Let's start with Leeds United. They were 7-9 now, and it's just not looking good for Thomas Christiansen. There shouldn't be a knee-jerk reaction, but Middlesbrough next. Gary Monk returning to Elland Road. Do you think that's a must-win game now for Thomas Christiansen?
Well, every game is a must-win game, isn't it? The problem now that we've got here is that we can't understand if we haven't got off to such a good start and topping the table at one point where they don't even seem to win the toss. And of course, there's nothing coming out of Elland Road. We don't know what they're thinking. Is. On the other hand, maybe we're thinking an awful lot for keeping it cards close to their chest. It's the same players that were winning at will, and now they're losing at will. And I think they're going to put a new coach in, but a defensive coach, I'm quite sure. He's a set beach coach. I don't quite know what that means, but so. Hopefully find out on Saturday week, isn't it? Middle of Saturday week?
Sunday week.
Yes.
It should be an interesting one, that one, no doubt. But it's a difficult few games, I think, for Leeds, really, because it's Middlesbrough, Wolves, and then Barnsley. So all three teams doing pretty well at the moment. So a tough little run for Leeds United.
That's when you find that sort out the men from the boys.
Exactly right, KB. England in action. A couple of really quite high-profile friendlies, really, for England. Germany and then Brazil. So when the German game's never going to be a friendly, but England players are dropping like flies at the moment ahead of it. There's a massive amount of people out from the fixture on Friday. Harry Kane, Harry Winks, Dele Alli, Jordan Henderson, Fabian Delph, Raheem Sterling, they're all pulled out, but they all seem to be going to be fit for the next Premier League game, apparently, according to their coaches. I'm just wondering how important these friendlies are now. I mean, whenever you play in Germany, it should be really, really exciting, but I don't see anybody really getting that excited about it.
Well, the real problem, of course, in the old days, we played very few international matches. And then when we rejoined FIFA, obviously we came into the World Cup. The World Cup qualifying round is now over 2 years. And ditto for the UEFA Championships. So that we play far more international matches than we used to. And, of course, they're also more competitive. They're not friendly. In their competition matches, which had a bit sharp with Brighton. But one must wonder, for the number of players dropping out, and it could be that the FA could insist that the players come be examined by an FA doctor or an independent expert to make sure these injuries are genuine.
And also some interesting happening that the VAR, video assistant referee technology, is going to be used for the first time in an official game. Been tested, of course, across the world, but this is the first time it's going to be happening for England in an official game. What are your thoughts on using it? I suppose realistically, if it works and it doesn't sort of tie up the game time too much, it's got to be a positive thing.
Well, I've seen so much written about it, but not a lot explained. But we'll have to see how it works. At the end of the day, it's always been the referee's decision is final, and swings and roundabouts, and win some, lose some, and the league table doesn't lie at the end of the season. All the usual cliches. But I think we have to make sure that the referee's authority isn't undermined. And, of course, we always remember the offside the goal that was given against us. What about the offside goal we scored and shouldn't have been given? I think these things even themselves out at the end of the season, over the course of the season. And I think we have to be very careful to avoid examining all new technology, not to go overboard with it. Introduce something from rugby union. But if you don't argue the referee, you take his decision and get on with it. And if you don't take your decision, you get off.
Plenty of other things to discuss. Let's talk about the current issues within the government, KB. Priti Patel has resigned. So another cabinet reshuffle, only a week after they did a previous cabinet reshuffle. It's all a bit of a mess at the moment.
It's not a reshuffle, is it? It's replacing one minister with another. Reshuffling, you cut the way out and start again. And I'll move them around the table. I was a bit disappointed with Ms. Patel, because she seems to be quite a bright individual. But I can't understand how. I can't understand about the left hand not knowing what the right hand doing. Because there should be interdepartmental communication at civil service level. So that the Foreign Secretary should have known what was going on. But against that, Ms. Patel should have advised the Foreign Secretary what was going on. He's got the necessary clearances. On the other hand, if you wait for all the red tape and bureaucracy to take place, you'll get anything done. So I think she's a loss to the cabinet, but she is a good woman, and no doubt she'll come back again, having learned her lesson. In fact, we can get on running the country.
Quite right. More Brexit news as well. The new head of the NHS England, Simon Stevens, came out yesterday saying that the health service should get a cash boost. The cash boost it was promised. We all remember the Vote Leave bus with £350 million a week on the side of it. But he's saying that the budget should be going into the NHS then. He's expecting that £350 million. Interesting that he's used that in his opening speech.
Well, I think let's start, first of all, I mean, it sounds good headline, doesn't it? The £350 million hasn't stopped going out of the country yet. It's still going to the EEC. So we haven't got the £350 million. The argument was that if we weren't in the EEC, then we'd have another £350 million a week to spend at home. So that's a red herring and a silly one. What you should more concentrate on is the waste, complacency, incompetence, laziness, and even corruption in the administrative side of the NHS. There's a story that's been highlighted, a survey has been carried out on the NHS trusts. And before they squeal for more money, they should be making sure they're getting value for money at the present time. In today's national newspapers, careful not to do it for free publicity, there's a story. Some NHS trusts buying gloves for £16. A set of 12 rubber gloves, and other NHS trusts buy them for 35p, which is jaw-dropping and eye-goggling. And apparently this was done by a speech by Jeremy Hunt, the health secretary. They've been doing an independent survey on the various trusts and published the league table. The worst one is Ipswich, which is appalling. Apparently some of the would-be buyers working for the trust simply look on Google and buy. Or they don't try and negotiate the prices down. I mean, they should treat NHS money as if it's theirs. Be very careful accordingly. So I think that the new NHS trust guy should look in inside his own cupboards and get that sorted out first. And he can justify the increase as he wants. At the same time, of course, he can also start reducing the wages paid to the top people in the NHS who probably aren't doing as good a job. Truth, the Prime Minister only gets paid $100,000 a year for running the country. How could a trust chairman or chief executive get paid $200,000 or $300,000 plus a gold-plated pension? I think we need to make sure that we don't just waste money because it's not ours. There's no doubt the frontline people do a great job. I heard of a story yesterday of somebody who was rushed into hospital with a heart problem, and the service and the supervision they got on the front line in the wards was brilliant. In fact, they decided he needs a pacemaker, and this morning he's been switched to Cambridge to have a pacemaker fitted. 10 out of 10. There's some waste behind the scenes that we need to look at. Make sure we get value, the taxpayers get value for their tax money. Then you can stand up and make a good case for more money. And of course, we come to Brexit, usual topic of conversation. Well, the fact is that we need to get on with it, and cabinet changes don't help. Takes your eye off the ball. But I suspect that behind the scenes, quite a lot of work been going on. But the trouble is that the Labour Party are making cheap capital about that. Tell us what's happening. Tell us what's happening. Give us the details. Well, you don't do that, do you? When you're in football, if you're negotiating to buy a player, you don't go to the world and tell them what you're prepared to pay and what you're not prepared to pay. This, that, and the other. You're giving ammunition to the other side. The same, in fact, applies to all businesses, negotiations. And Brexit is a big one. And when you get these Europeans saying, oh, we want 80 billion, 100 billion. First of all, where do you get the money from? How do you make it up? Justify it. Then there's a dead silence. And they say, well, make us a proposal. There's no proposal at the moment. There's no proposal because they haven't said what we're going to get. But don't forget, we own 16% of the European Bank. Well, we don't want to be a member of the European Bank when we've left. So how much are they going to pay us? How much is Europe going to pay the UK for their shares? Cuts both ways. Meanwhile, wages are creeping up. Unemployment is creeping up. Unemployment is creeping down. And people are still investing. And I think now some of the individual countries in the EC can be a bit worried about their position. Because the French and the Luxembourger, who likes a nice drink, who's in charge of negotiations, in charge of running EEC, European Council, don't seem to have any pretty much ideas. They're still talking empire building. Want a European army by 2025. Well, if they do, they better start spending money on defence. Because Britain's the only country in the EC is the biggest spender anywhere near the budget. Now, I think, from mature reflection and behind closed doors, individual countries are examining their position without the UK. They begin to realise it may not be quite as good as they think it is, because we're subsidising a lot of them. When our money goes, so will the subsidies. and then they will have to start improving productivity or lowering their standards or being competitive. So I don't think many of them are not going to want to trade with us. Let's move on. Leeds can have a breather. Leeds United can have a breather. Hopefully come back refreshed and fit for the Middlesbrough game. It isn't going to be easy, of course, because Gary Monk has a point to make.
Quite right, KB. We'll catch up with you at the same time next week.